Welcome, everybody, to the Access Hour, coming to you live from WFMP Community Radio here in the heart of downtown Louisville. And my name is Ruth Newman. I am here with Bob Klein and a special guest today, Don Reinhardt. And we are live, as I said, and you are tuned to 106.5 FM. Or you are on our website at www.forwardradio.org. And thank you to your past support. We have arrived at our seventh year on the air presenting this precious public airwave to you as a vehicle for local engagement and local empowerment. Speaking of which, we have some very special guests today, including Don Reinhardt, who I just announced. We also have K.A. Hello, K.A.
This is K.A. Owens. Do I have a mic?
No.
Thank you. This is K.A. Owens. My show is On the Edge with K.A. Owens. So happy to be here with everyone today. So, we're in our pledge drive, so folks got to support what you love.
Yeah, right. And we are going to talk today about designing and creating your own do-it-yourself neighborhood and how engaging and empowering is that. And that's what all this radio station is all about, is engaging you and empowering the community. So we will get to that subject. But first, how about supporting the station by going to our website? It's www.forwardradio.org. We need to raise about $7,000 to keep this station on the air. So right now, go to www.forwardradio.org and see what we've cooked up for our magnificent seventh birthday celebration, which is happening on April the 13th, Saturday, from 5 to 8 p.m. We're having live music, dancing, live radio, wonderful birthday cake. That's all free. We also will have food vendor discounts, a real dazzling silent auction with incredible items, including a green egg. I'm not sure what that is. Maybe somebody here knows what that is.
A green egg?
Yes, it's something to do with barbecuing.
Yeah. Yes, it's very well thought of barbecuing device.
I was going to say, I usually throw green eggs out.
No. You will not want to miss Charles Booker, who is going to arrive early to give us some words of encouragement and inspiration, and our sister city radio station from across the Atlantic in Leeds, England, is going to stay up late their time, because they're going to be 4 hours ahead, to be on hand virtually to introduce themselves. So get out your pencils and put this in your calendars, Saturday, April 13th, 5 to 8 p.m. at the Logan Street Market, which is on Logan Street and St. Catherine. So let's get to today's topic, which is co-housing. And although this is not a new movement, it's been around for a long time, it's kind of new here in Louisville. And with us to explain this concept is Don Reinhardt, who is a native Kentuckian, graduated from Northern Kentucky University in the early 1980s with a degree in psychology. His careers include mental health, information technology, and construction management, quite diverse. And he has over 30 years of experience in all levels of residential construction. He has also lived in two co-housing communities on the West Coast, and through all of his work, he has carried a lifelong passion for combining social ventures with housing solutions. He's also a housing consultant and currently partnered with nonprofit organizations in Louisville with missions of providing affordable housing for persons who have been marginalized. He's worked primarily with the Mattingly Edge and a new nonprofit startup that's called Inclusive Housing Solutions to launch Louisville Co-Housing. So let's get started on co-housing. My first question to you, Don, is what is co-housing?
Okay. Well, co-housing is intentional and it's collaborative, and that's how the neighborhood gets set up. You get a group of people together, and they do this intentionally together. It includes private homes and shared indoor and outdoor spaces designed to support an active and interdependent community life. It's really a modern way of putting together a traditional village. This isn't a new idea. It's a new way to respect new codes and all that goes along with that. But the residents participate in the design, and they want to create a lifestyle of fostering more supportive neighbor relationships.
And, okay, so there are all different kinds of configurations out there. One, I mean, we've got apartment complexes, we've got condos, co-ops, communes. Mm-hmm. How is co-housing different from all of those?
Yeah, communes is kind of, I'll make a separate statement about that. But when it comes to any kind of construction, especially multi-residential construction, the big difference is the intentional community ingredient of it. So anybody can build a development, and I've had developers come to me and say, if I build it, will they come? And if you build it, residents will usually come, but you have to be developing the social piece of it right from the beginning, or it doesn't take. And that is really, once you start with that, with the group, they build trust with each other, and they design it together and build it together, and then guess what? They're living in the same neighborhood together for a long, long time. So they're building trust and a commitment to each other that way.
Yeah. And how many co-housing communities there are already in the United States?
So we're affiliated with Coho US, which is, you can go to cohousing.org and see a lot of information there. And that's our affiliation. They currently have now over 300 combined forming and established communities in their network. Mm-hmm. Outside of Coho US, I wonder if anybody has a number, because like I said, this is an old-fashioned idea with living in a village-like neighborhood. So that goes back to, what, the beginning of time? But I would venture to say there are hundreds across the country that are not in the Coho US mm-hmm. network.
And one of the things about living in a co-housing community is that you walk out your front door and you don't see your garage, you don't see your driveway. What you see is your neighbors, because you've configured it intentionally that way so that you can have more social interaction with them. And so so talk about common areas and what are some of the principles and values of co-housing.
Sure. So when it comes to common areas, the biggest, most obvious one is the common house. A parking area is generally going to be a common area. And yes, there can be garages, but usually there are fewer garages per the number of residences. A common garden is often an element. And the community sometimes shares in the tending of that garden. The neighborhood's walkable, so there's a lot of common walkways. There's not so much vehicular traffic across the site. It's all kept to the edge of the site. Some communities have like a common workshop and even an auto mechanic garage. Mm-hmm. We've seen some that have that where they maybe there's a one or two or more auto mechanics within the community, and mm-hmm. and they share the venture.
Yeah, it's kind of do it yourself. Whatever the group decides is an important area for them to share, then they will build it into their configuration. So let's talk about, why is there a need, do you think, for co-housing? What's going on in the country that we need that we need co-housing?
I think we need co-housing because I think neighborhoods don't have the cohesiveness that we want them to have lots of times. People are separate in their own homes a lot of the times, and that is aggravated by the reality that 40 million Americans live alone. Which is way up from a couple of decades ago. And so there's a loneliness epidemic going on across the country. I think it's needed to make neighborhoods safer. If you have people that are doing this intentionally and all living in the same neighborhood, they're working together, they're cooperating, they're watching out for each other. Many of them are going to have kids, and that's why they come into communities like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the fact that the baby boomers, of which I'm a member, are getting up there.
Yep.
And all that we have to look forward to is assisted living, independent living, nursing homes. These are all places where you are stuck and with people in your own age category. It can be very demoralizing.
Yeah.
When you see people dying next to you all the time, and you know, and so this is a way of creating a real kind of almost like you said, village or extended family, mm-hmm. people who look out for you. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, how did you get involved? What was it that brought you to co-housing?
Well, my interest started a long time ago in my college days. I was reading things by Henry David Thoreau and B.F. Skinner, and like a lot of other folks have, who sort of inspired me in that direction. And then I heard of, I was seeking in my late 20s, and around the time I turned 30, I heard of a community on the West Coast, and that was before they called co-housing. This was actually a community that was set up by a church group, and they built their own houses. And this was a lot more DIY than you're going to find in co-housing today. But I helped build the last four of their houses, and I was there for a couple of years, and then moved on from that situation and carried the vision with me. I lived in another co-housing situation. It was more of a co-living situation with many people in one house in the San Francisco Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And I've lived in, you know, in that particular part of the country, it's been typical over the last several decades for a lot of people to share a house because of the cost of real estate out there. So that wasn't foreign to a lot of people. I've lived in several situations like that. And so then recently in my work here in Louisville, mm-hmm. with Mattingly Edge and Inclusive Housing Solutions, they're doing an array of affordable housing solutions for people who are IDD disabled. And co-housing became one of their models. In fact, now it's the preferred model. They're actually operating with grant funding. Mm-hmm. From the Commonwealth Council on Developmental Disabilities. And so in 2022, several of us went to the COHO U.S. National Conference in Madison, Wisconsin, and I was just turned on with the spirit that was there and what everybody shared and how it was being done. And having my career largely, so much of my career already in construction, I hit it off with a lot of people there who were in mm-hmm. planning and design and engineering, and mm-hmm. and the social sciences are represented there as well. So it was exciting mm-hmm. for me.
Great. I guess we'd better talk about what's going on with our pledge drive.
Oh, wow. Absolutely.
So what is going on with our pledge drive, Bob?
Well, we have several people that have already donated, but we need a lot more. I'd like to think that we're very close to our goal of $7,000. We have just under 1,000, but time is on our side. I believe we've got what, 10 days left,
something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some of the people that have contributed so far, and a big thank you to them, Wallace McMullen, David Robinson, Tom Fitzgerald, Deanna Rushing, Mary M. Williams, Avery Kohler. Avery used to do a broadcast on this radio station. Someone named Snake Jones. I've known more than one Snake. They actually use the name Snake. And Enid Redman. So.
And I also want to add that the contribution from Dave Robinson was for the U of L Philosophy Department in support of Critical Thinking for Everyone. That is one of their favorite shows in the U of L Department of Philosophy.
Bravo. Yeah, and there are a lot of people, you know, that are on the staff, and the donations will come in from them, of course, later, and friends. But we need your support. If you like this radio station, you like what you hear, as I always say, dig down in them jeans and pull out them greens.
Yeah, and you can go to www.forwardradio.org. And then click on the donate link. And there is there, especially now in this situation we find ourselves in, with so much unrest in the country, and I think personally kind of a bent toward authoritarianism and corporate control of media, that we really need independent, nonprofit, non-commercial radio with, you know, we have no strings. All of us here are volunteers. We don't get anything for this. All the money that you donate goes to the running of the station, the equipment repairs, new equipment. Bob can talk about the need for new equipment.
We need new equipment, folks. Pretty pleased with brown sugar on it.
With the studio rental, antenna rental, all those insurance, royalties, all those kinds of fixed amounts that we have to pay. So please get on, I was going to say get on those phones, but no, don't do that. Go to the website, forwardradio.org, click on the donate. And I forgot to mention that we are having this incredibly grand festival party, birthday party, celebrating 7 years of being on the air, and it's coming up Saturday, April the 13th. It's going to be at the Logan Street Market from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., please come. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have live music. We're going to have birthday cake, food vendor discounts. We're going to have an incredible silent auction. And our special guest is going to be Charles Booker, who's going to give some remarks. We're going to also have virtually our sister city, and they don't consider it sister city, I just learned, over there in England, because they consider that to be sexist. So they call it Twin City. So it's our Twin City community radio station in Leeds, England. And they are going to be there. And we may even have a surprise guest for you. So please come, Logan Street Market.
Anyone who is an enthusiast fan of the group Who, The Who, they did a live album called Live at Leeds. So that's just south of London. It's a really neat place. I know some people that have been there. I know some people that were born there. It really surprised me when I found out we have a twin radio station. And that's non-gender, of course. So, you know, it's just
genetic.
A bunch of people. A bunch of people hanging out. Doing radio. Are they, Ruth, I don't know myself, are they a community radio station like we are?
Not exactly. They are called East Leeds Community Radio Station, but right at the moment they're doing mostly podcasting.
Okay.
And they are in this gigantic church. I guess it's a former church, and it's a building with all these other activities going on inside of it, like theater, literature classes. I think they've got what else?
Dance.
And Victoria's
like sort of a performing arts.
Yeah, performing arts.
Place.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks spectacular. Quite a, we got the tour via the station manager who's from Chicago, I think. He's American.
Okay.
And he gave us the tour walking through with his laptop to show us, and
it was pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean,
so
we could give the tour of our studio.
Have you been there?
In 1 second.
You've been there yourself.
No, we just saw it virtually.
Oh, okay.
We saw it virtually. Yeah.
Cheaper that way.
Yes. For sure.
So, We are here now with Victoria Strange. She has joined us, so welcome.
Oh, well, thank you, and welcome to all our listeners. And I'm going to make a pitch. Am I allowed to make a pitch?
Of course. Here's the windup.
Okay. I don't have the world's greatest throwing arm. Not anymore, anyway. I just wanted to give a shout out to all of our wonderful listeners out there. And even if you're just tuning in for the first time, please go to our website, forwardradio.org, and click on donate. Help us stay on the air for another year. This is our 7th year of broadcasting. In just a few days, we will celebrate our 7th birthday. Yes. And it's just such an important thing, I believe, in this day and age to have independent media, local voices. We have, you know, just a few giant corporations controlling just about everything we see, hear, read. Movie houses, publishing companies, radio stations, TV stations.
Yeah.
So having one that is not beholden to advertising revenue or, you know, huge mega donors. We don't have any of those yet. No, just kidding.
Yes.
And I thought if people donate during this hour, we'll sing them a thank you.
Oh, will we?
Because we have a wonderful singer here.
Who?
You.
Sorry.
Bobby should have brought your guitar.
A cappella is fine too. You know, I mean, I can do the, you know,
I'll sing with the beat. If people can stand my voice. Okay.
So
I've said enough.
We're going to get back to the topic of the hour, which is co-housing and the importance of co-housing and how exciting that movement is. I was thinking that maybe could we talk a little bit about the kinds of co-housing. They're all different kinds because they're very unique and individual based on a few universal principles, but everybody that joins a co-housing group, they can go in whatever direction that they really, that they want to go. Now, you had mentioned disabled people, people that are disabled that you are working with. Yeah. I was going to ask you, what kind of a configuration are they thinking of? Because is it going to be all disabled people in their families, or are they thinking of a different configuration?
Yeah, well, in our case, it'll be, so we're looking at 25 to 35 units in the development, and it will be roughly 10% dedicated for people with IDD disabilities. That's intellectually and developmentally disabled. So that includes people with cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, some on the autism spectrum, and then there are some other classifications that I don't stay on top of. But Mattingly provides support services to IDD disabled adults, and they just quickly saw housing as a need for them. So that is what has inspired Louisville co-housing historically. There is one forming in Virginia that's focuses on mental health disabilities, and that one is going to be all people with mental health disabilities, and they've gotten a government grant, I understand, for a piece of their project. I'm aware of a group in Hudson, New York, that just they've been living in what's called a Camp Hill community. And the Camp Hill communities were formed in 1938 by Jews and Christians in response to Nazi oppression. There are like 100 of those around the world, and this particular one has 10 families with IDD disabled people in the family, and their support staff have also lived in that community. They're facing a situation where they have to move because a foundation that owns the property is selling the property. So I've had some talks with them and pointed them in a direction to talk to other people. So there are many, many themes. You mentioned the baby boomer generation earlier. So there are one of the most common forms of co-housing communities that is growing is senior. And there is a woman that I'm in touch with that is focusing on that. She's up in Minnesota and wants to do some projects in Wisconsin. There is an LGBTQ community that has formed and everybody's moved in, and I think it's North Carolina. I get North Carolina and South Carolina confused with where this one's at. There are workforce themes. There are people who have vision of doing one that focuses on public services, so policemen, firemen, teachers, educators, medical professionals. I could go on and on. Mm-hmm.
But in most cases, one of their values, as I understand it, is diversity.
Ours certainly is, and most of them are, even though it has a theme, they tend to be a pretty diverse group of people. Most of them are progressive with politics. 70% of them are introverts. little tidbit there. So there's a lot of different blends. Anytime you get a group of people, there's going to be a diversity within that group. In our particular group, we do want a broad range of as broad a range of diversity as we can achieve with it.
And what I have read is that the secret to successful co-housing is building a great group of people.
Yes.
And it's all about the meetings in advance of even putting the shovel in the ground.
That's right.
How do you get a good group going?
Well, that's what our focus is right now. And we have, you can start with two or three people who want to do it, and then they just say they want to do it, and it's expressing the intention and then attracting other people to that intention. And then you just grow the group, and that's been a huge focus of ours since June of last year. Mm-hmm. We've gone from, and ours started largely with a group of people at Mattingly Edge, so I think we've started with about half a dozen families there who had a really strong interest, and more than half of those family had an IDD disabled person in the family. And then we've just started putting the word out. So we now have about 30 people who are showing up at, more than one meeting, and we have about two dozen people who are showing up very consistently at the planning meetings. So I'm calling those our pre-membership or explorers meetings, because we're all learning together what that is and building trust with each other.
And it's not like reinventing the wheel, because there are so many groups out there who have done it and succeeded. And so you've got lots and lots of resources to go to. As a matter of fact, where did I put them? I don't know. I brought some books. I think one of the original people who introduced co-housing in the United States is Charles Durrett.
Yeah.
And he's written quite a bit. He lives in a co-housing community. I think he's an architect. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, so Chuck Durrett and Katie McCammett wrote Creating Co-Housing, which is one of your books there.
Yes, Building Sustainable Communities, yes.
Yeah, they're both architects. Katie did one of the first ones in Emeryville, California, back in, I guess the early 90s. But she's done 60 of them. Now, I'm not sure how many Chuck has done, but they have worked together on different projects. I'm currently interning with Katie, as a matter of fact. It's one-year internship to be boots on the ground for her here in Louisville to do project development consultation for a co-housing
community.
That's
fabulous. That's really
fabulous. It's exciting.
Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff going on in co-housing, and I guess it's time to ID the station. You're listening to WFMP LP, Louisville, Kentucky. This is Ruth Newman, and I'm here with Bob Klein.
Hello.
K.A. Owens.
Howdy.
Victoria Strange.
Hello.
And Don Reinhardt.
Hi.
And we are also here to tell you about this pledge drive that we're in. We're in the middle of right now, and needing your help to stay on the air by going to www.forwardradio.org and click on the donate link. You'll see some premiums that are available for different pledge levels, and we need your help. We're all volunteers on this station, And it is a frequency that we are keeping our foot in the door, holding that door open for you, for the community, to empower individual people and the grassroots so that we can overcome the monopolies that are kind of eating up all of our media.
Have been for many years.
Yes. So keep that foot, keep our foot in the door of public interest media. So go to forwardradio.org and click on the donate link right now. And then come party with us on April the 13th, 5 p.m.
to 8?
5 to 8.
Correct.
And you will be amazed at everything that we've lined up. We've got live music, dance. We've got birthday cake, food vendor discounts, an incredible silent auction. And we have special guest, Charles Booker, who is going to be inspiring. You should come just to hear him. Or you could come to hear the East Leeds community radio people who speak with this incredibly weird English accent.
I beg your pardon.
They're going to be on hand. They're going to be virtual, but we have a big screen there so everybody can see them.
And Ruth, I want to give a mention to that fantastic place called the Logan Street Market. You and I were down there a couple of weeks ago. That was my one and only visit so far. Looking forward to going back there for our birthday party. That place is amazing. It is an open area. This is an old warehouse. It's been renovated. It's an open area with many shops in it. And I know I've seen something like that before, but I don't know if Louisville's had anything like that. It probably has. I haven't seen every single thing in the metropolitan area, but it is great. I mean, it has food and all kinds of, just commodities.
Arts and crafts, handicrafts.
Sundries. Remember sundries?
Charcuterie, cheese.
Yeah.
Oh.
Can you tell my stomach is growling? Can you hear it over the microphone?
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I was going to turn off your mic here pretty soon.
Well, I apologize in advance, but I'm on a liquid diet today because I'm having a certain medical procedure that I'm sure everyone on the airwaves immediately knows what it is. You're not allowed to have any solid food. And I have had one cup of black coffee, an orange popsicle, and a tiny cup full of chicken broth.
And you have someone to drive you tomorrow, right?
And the worst.
I have to keep going.
The worst
the rest
is
of the
yet
day.
To come.
I know, and the worst is yet to come. But anyway.
Of course you have to keep going. You don't have a choice.
That's not why I'm here. I'm here because I love this station and everybody associated with it. But I thought it would be a wonderful distraction so I don't have to think about my growling stomach for, an hour. Anyway.
Wow. I just want to mention something kind of off the topic today real quick. 50 years ago today, Louisville was hit with an EF4 tornado, which went from Stanford Field, the airport, all the way about 15 miles to the northeast and tore Bardstown Road and Cherokee Park, even Indian Hills and Northfield and Audubon Park, tore them to shreds.
And guess where I was last night?
Where were you?
In my basement because the tornado sirens were going off and I was thinking about that day.
And amazingly enough,
nothing.
Prospect and Buckner were hit.
Got hit.
Here last night. And also Indiana. Yeah.
In southern Indiana.
Yeah. And that's another reason for co-housing. Because when you're in a co-housing community, your neighbors know you. Everybody can jump too, and help out. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we are missing. I see it on Nextdoor all the time. People, having problems, that they need somebody to help them in their community for one reason or another, mm-hmm. and they can't go to their next-door neighbors because they don't know their next-door neighbors, you know. So that's another reason to have co-housing.
It's a big distinction. If you're living in a community like that, you have, you know, you have neighbors you can go to. And some people have that, but a lot of people don't.
Mm-hmm. So in a country right now where we have so many divides and so much vitriol and partisanship, I would like for you to talk about how co-housing governs itself and how people problem solve together and come up with decision making, and how is it that they learn those skills, which all of us need today more than ever and don't seem to have?
Well, yeah, so the decision making model is a consensus model. There's a couple of different ones. One is a really just general consensus model, and consensus often is mistaken to be taken as 100% agreement. It's a large large majority of agreement taking seriously the objections of those who don't agree and trying to work through those objections together. Mm-hmm. It's not about just forcing a majority decision. There is a form of consensus decision making that's being taught at the national, the COUS level, and there's a big advocacy for something called sociocracy. Sociocracy is a little, well, it's a lot more complicated than just consensus decision making. I did a day-long workshop on it at the conference in 2022. And I need probably six more months of that workshop to really make it work. But it was intense. They gave us exercises that set us up for conflict. And so it was a really great thing to go through. And there are people who are making a business out of teaching sociocracy because they believe in it. So, neighborhoods, when people are in a neighborhood and need to make decisions together, they are forming an HOA, homeowners association. That's part of the development that they're doing. And then the consensus decision-making process is part of how the HOA functions.
Now, there's something also that's called dynamic governance that I've heard about. And I've also heard, I've visited some co-housing communities, and they have different ways of resolving conflicts. And they're so beautiful, some of them, you know, like people who disagree with each other, they'll put them on, like, the dishwashing committee. And then they'll just go and wash dishes together, just something that they'll do together to kind of build those trust bonds with
that.
Each other.
I'm a strong believer that if we work together on something, that goes a long way
and that's,
towards
unity. Yeah, and the thing about
unity.
Co-housing is that they have a national organization that will help you every step of the way, so that if you have problems, if you have, you know, conflicts, they will train you. They will train facilitators, meeting facilitators. So this is kind of like a microcosm of people learning how to solve problems among each other.
Yes.
And get to know each other better in all different ways, not just on issues, but living together, you know.
That's something that is very important and has been discussed on TV over and over again for years. There was a program on, I think, Monday that I just happened to catch. And, I'm just one guy, just happened to catch a program about cell phones. And if you bring it up too strongly to people, it's like you're taking my life away from me. You know, it's like you kidnapped their dog or something. But cell phones are wonderful when it comes to emergency. But a lot of people, it seems like that's all they're doing.
extremely addictive, I think.
And particularly with kids, but I've seen it in adults too.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
The people out to dinner and everyone at the table is looking at their phone.
Yeah.
And no one's talking. I mean, and they obviously know each other because they're out to dinner together, but and they're at the same table.
When I was a kid, we knew most of the people on our block particularly. And, you know, some people just don't want to be bothered with other people. I can understand that. But we have to increase our communication level. Not just the skills, but also the level of communicating. And I heard something last night where it said, you know, when you look at someone, smile. You know, when you're, you know, like coming up on somebody, even if you know them really well, smile at them. You know, give them a little smile. You know, what if you know, most of the people did that most of the time? That's one thing that can change. And Don, I wanted to ask you a question. Is cohabitation
co-housing?
Co-housing used. Synonymous with cohabitation? Is it,
yeah. So some words are interchanged, and there are distinctions between some of them. So co-housing is the term that was coined by Katie McCammett, and it's a translation of, I believe, a word in Denmark.
Which is where co-housing got started.
Yeah, and that's where she and Chuck studied, is my understanding. So co-housing, they started to call this current movement that they've headed up across the country co-housing. I didn't hear of co-housing 30 years ago. You know, I heard of community, intentional community. That term's been around for a long time. Cohab is a term that's still used. It's used, my understanding is it's used much like co-living, where there are spaces that you're sharing more within the same residential unit. But I've heard cohab used interchangeably between living in the same house and living in a co-housing community. So they're all applied in different way, overlapping ways.
But let's be specific. In a co-housing community, each household is private. They've got their own private bedroom, living room, kitchen, dining room. Everything's private. Yeah. The only thing is that they've got all these common areas that they can join in social activities together. Right. And when you walk out of your house, you don't just encounter a driveway and a garage. When you walk out of your house, you see your neighbors right there.
Usually that's the case.
Yeah.
It's architecturally, it's set up that way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and, you know, if you, I mentioned earlier that a large percentage of co-housers are introverts, so they want their me time. I want my me time. So you're not forced into a party all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another beauty of having separate living units.
Some people want that.
Yeah.
You know, hey, party all the time.
You know, what really got to me, I was at a co-housing session once, and I was talking to this woman who was almost at the end of their co-housing endeavor. They were going to have their co-housing community very soon. And she said what she was dreaming and looking forward to was just on a whim. And she might be in her nightgown, in her bedroom slippers, in her co-housing house or unit, just running down to the common the common dining room or the common, you know, workspace or social gathering space, and being with people in her community, not having to make a big deal out of it. You know, like getting
the fire
dressed.
Pit. There's the hot tub, there's the pool, all these things can be included.
Yeah.
Where you can go and just see somebody else.
Yeah, right. And that's what we don't have now because developers are not interested in the social aspect of communities. And so everything, my street, your street, most your street, KA, they're all in straight lines. They're straight lines, and in most houses, co-housing communities, they're circular or they're U-shaped. Mm-hmm. And they have a central, some kind of either a garden or a courtyard or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of places for people to have opportunities to do things together or just talk.
So yeah. Where mm-hmm. are you at now in Louisville? At what point?
So we're at the point where, it's a good question. We are, I think the group is solidifying. We still expect a lot of growth with the group and some change. We don't have a property yet. We are looking at the public transit system. So we're looking at the bus lines as a, that's a driver for where this might be. We want to find a property that has access to public transportation. Some of us would like to see it more rural. I think most of us want to see it more urban. And the beauty of it is that as the group forms and grows and builds trust, we get to decide as a group what decisions are made about these things.
Right.
Now, we've approached the city of Louisville about some potential properties. We did a presentation with the city of Louisville. I feel it's something really cool has happened there over the last few months where there's an opportunity to make this a little bit more affordable and offer some income diversity, which is what we're hoping mm-hmm. for, because these things cost a lot to get into. They're a housing development.
Mm-hmm.
So as a group, you're doing a housing development that is going to cost, going to be a multi-million dollar mm-hmm. project.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're, as a group, learning that process.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're getting people in place to guide that process. We do have an architectural firm who specializes in co-housing that's been on board with us for quite some time now. Mathilde Burt with Studio Cohab mm-hmm. has done some co-housing projects, and she's wants to be the architectural designer on this one.
Mm-hmm.
So and she's in partnership with an architect up in Bozeman, Montana. So they just finished a project up there. Mathilde actually has an office here in Louisville and lives here in Louisville. So mm-hmm. That's where we're at. We're really strong on group formation. We've looked at properties. We're keeping our mind open. We're expecting some solicitations of interest from the city mm-hmm. for some properties where there might be a good deal there. And for Louisville co-housing, that could be a really good step for us, because the cost of the property is often the first financial hurdle that you need to get through.
And also
with this.
I might point out that co-housing is also pointed in the direction of environmentally sound, efficient, sustainable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, you know, things like solar panels and insulation, all those things are incorporated into the design. And light, that's so important, having the right kind of light and acoustics,
mm-hmm.
both.
Yeah, we do want to make it, sustainability is one of our stated values with Louisville Co-Housing. There are different levels of sustainability that each co-housing project achieves. Some do solar mm-hmm. panels. Some don't. I would advocate for them, but that's another decision that the group needs to be made mm-hmm. make together, that is a cost decision,
right.
as
right.
you're considering the cost of the whole project.
And I know a lot of co-housing communities also have rentals. So for people with low income, I know that I visited one co-housing community where a couple of the owners had pooled their resources and bought a couple extra units that mm-hmm. they rented,
mm-hmm.
and that allowed for, you know, more low-income people to move in, and students to help with the diversity.
Right. So that's actually going to be the track that some of the residents who Mattingly serves is on. They'll get a Section 8 voucher, mm-hmm. and usually all the time that starts out as a rental. And then after they've held the voucher for a year, that can become a mortgage voucher. So mm-hmm. that person can move into home ownership. So we do have a couple of people in our group who are potentially interested in buying a couple of units and renting to someone else. And I'll throw in there that There's a large senior co-housing community that was just approved in Lexington. They've got a schedule for shovels in the ground after they do go through the entitlement process. But one of the men in our circle has inspired a developer in the Lexington area to apply for what are called the Kentucky Housing Corporation's innovative funding bucket. And so he was approved for funds to come from the innovative funding bucket to build an 80-unit senior co-housing rental mm-hmm. complex at 30 to 60%, maximum 60% AMI.
What is AMI?
So AMI is a percentage of area median income. So if you make 60% of area median income or less, you could qualify for one of these units.
Mm. Super, super. So, yeah, you do need professionals to help you along the way. Architects.
You do.
Developers, contractors, real estate lawyers.
You need the developer. Well, there are people who are still, some are still trying to make an argument for you not needing a developer, but personally, you know, construction has become so regulated, and mm-hmm. the larger the project gets, the more time it takes just to get it through mm-hmm. the approval and permit process. So a lot of developers are, some developers are better at that than others. Mm-hmm. I'm thrilled with the potential relationships we have with developers here in town who want to work with
That's
us
great.
And do this.
That's great. And I also might add, too, that all the co-housing communities that I know about, the value of their properties has only gone up. Mm-hmm. It hasn't gone down.
That's a really good argument for the buyer as well as the local municipality who's mm-hmm. Taking property taxes, right? Mm-hmm. So the buyer can have a good level of confidence that their property is going to hold its value. Meanwhile, the city can plan for a really consistent tax
yeah,
base
right.
in that area.
Right, because it has to go in that direction when you've got a tight community that yeah. cares for one another. So, well, we're getting close to the end, and we better put another plug in for our station.
Oh, yes. We don't want to get whacked over the knuckles with a tire tool, so, because due to our fellow volunteers here, almost said employees. We're just under $1,000, folks, for our fund drive, which is going on between now and April 13th. You can donate at Forward Radio. That's all one word, all lowercase, forwardradio.org. And when you get on our website, just go to donate, and it'll lead you to your donation. And one day takes $20 just to run the radio station. And again, we don't get any of it. And that's a good thing because we all want to do this. And so it's not profit driven.
Right.
But we do need capital to, you know, keep the radio station running. And thanks to everybody who has donated in the past, including staff. Mm-hmm. You know, staff has also donated.
Because we know the value of having a public frequency that is out there with a mic, holding that mic open for you guys out in the community so that we can always feel like there is a grassroots. You know, we all need the grassroots. That's how this country got started. We had committees. We had people getting together. Co-housing is one way for people to get together. Organizations are ways for people to get together. But we've got to keep our media open to the public, and this is one way for people to have a voice and get that voice out into the community. So we invite you to come on board. You don't need any engineering background. We will help you along. We all started, except for Bob, as amateurs. We didn't know anything, and some of us still don't know anything.
Yeah, but I'm very impressed with the people that have been on the radio station. Just about everybody has just fallen into it like a professional. So, and you got K.A. over here, who's been doing it for a long time and does a great job. Yeah. But K.A. had some experience when he got here, but hardly anybody else did. Justin, myself, you know, and a couple other people. So I'm very impressed. And if anyone out there would like to do this, you'd like to have your own program, just go to participate on forwardradio.org.
Yeah, it's an easy thing to do. Just go to forwardradio.org, click on the participate tab, and we will get right back to you. Just fill out the form on that tab. And don't forget to come to our birthday party, which is going to be so fantastic. April the 13th, 5 p.m. at Logan Street Market, which is on Logan Street and St. Catherine. St. Catherine.
Yeah.
And it's going to be so much fun. It's going to be dancing and live music, birthday cake. We're going to have a special appearance by Charles Booker, possibly another special guest. We're going to have virtual conversation with our Twin City community radio station in East Leeds, England, and that'll be fun. A beautiful live, silent auction with lots of really incredible stuff there.
It'll be live too. Huh?
And we are going to live broadcast the party. So if you want to get words in on that occasion, the Logan Street Market is the place, 5 o'clock, and it's on April the 13th, Saturday. So.
Okay.
Can I just plug something real quick?
Sure,
We have also an event coming up Tuesday, April 9th, at the main library here on York Street. Well, it's right next door. I realized that today as
just
I parked.
Just across the alley.
Tuesday from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. It's a public presentation. Our Mathilde Burt, our architectural designer, will talk for about an hour. It's going to be informational. Marilyn Harris, who's the Director of Housing and Community Development at Louisville, will speak, and she's going to speak about the Mayor's My Louisville Home Plan and how co-housing, a section on co-housing, got added to the My Louisville Home Plan recently.
Wonderful. That's great. Well, we should wrap this up, but I just wanted to say how fascinating it was to hear about co-housing and
It is.
Are we still on the air?
Yes, we are.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to say thank you to Don Reinhardt for joining us today.
Thank you. It's my
pleasure. It was wonderful. Just a great discussion.
Yes, and I really encourage people to find out more about co-housing. So thank you, Don, for being here.
It was my pleasure, my honor. Thank you.
Okay, and this has been the Access Hour, and join us again next week, 2 o'clock on Wednesday.